reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. So are you ready for a four-page homily? Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's four pages. My dear friends, as we celebrate today the solemnity of the Body and Blood of Christ, or Corpus Christi Sunday, imagine yourself, my dear friends, just picture yourself. It's the year 1263, and you are on a pilgrimage to Rome. On the road, you meet a priest from the Czech Republic, from Prague, who is struggling with doubts and about his vocation. So he too is on a pilgrimage, just like you, seeking to deepen his faith and to find clarity. Now that evening, you both stop at the church about 70 miles north of the city. And in that church, the pastor invites you both to spend the night in his rectory, to rest, and then the following morning to celebrate Mass. Now, during the consecration at Mass that following morning, just imagine, the pastor raises the host and recites those familiar words that we always hear whenever we come to church during consecration. "This is my body. Do this in memory of me." Just then, at that point, something amazing happens. The host begins to bleed. The priest's doubts vanish, and his love for Jesus begins to be renewed with a new zeal. Now, this miracle, my dear friends, is not just a simple story. This really happened. And this miracle led Pope Urban IV to institute the Feast of the Body and Blood of Jesus the following year. So the white cloth that caught the blood of Christ during that time when it was being consecrated remains on display in the cathedral at Orvieto in the Umbria region in Italy. And every year on the feast or the solemnity of the Body and Blood of Christ, a grand procession with the cloth takes place through the streets of the city. My dear friends, we celebrate today the solemnity, yes, of the Body and Blood of Christ, but we also celebrate the greatest gift that God has given us. Definitely the gift of Himself, but more importantly, the gift of Himself in the presence of the Holy Eucharist. Now, when you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, how it defines the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist, or basically the Paschal Mystery, but it is expressed in the Holy Eucharist, it is the source and summit of all Christian life. Meaning this is what defines our life as a Christian, as a Catholic. When you say it's the source and you say it's the summit, it's the source, this is where we get our strength, the Mass. This is where we get the grace, the motivation, the inspiration of living a life that is worth Christ. That living a life that is called a Christian life. It is through this. It is the source. When you come to church, you define yourself as a Christian. But not only coming to the source of grace, but at the same time too, it's the summit. What do you mean the summit? This is the highest form. This is the peak of worship. The rosary is not. Your devotion to the saints is not. But I'm not saying that it is not important. It is definitely important. It helps us in our own spiritual journey. We ask the intercession of our Blessed Mother. We ask the intercession of our saints. But when I say it is the summit, it means it is the highest form of prayer. And you have to understand how important it is. Because a lot of us, my dear friends, yes, we come to church, but we do not realize how important the Eucharist is. And sometimes we use certain words like, I have to go to Mass, or I have to hear Mass. Those are somehow words that downplay the importance of the sacrament of the Eucharist. Especially, I also mentioned earlier today, I shared in the last two Masses that I celebrated this morning, that somehow it gets me irritated whenever I hear priests say that I am going to say Mass. The priest don't say Mass. The priest celebrates Mass. Why? Because it is a feast. It is not just something that you do by routine. It is not just another schedule during the day. No, it's not. It is the center of who we are, especially as priests. And not only as priests, my dear brothers and sisters, you have to understand when you are here at Mass, you're not spectators. Remember that. You are not spectators. You're not just here, just like coming in, watching a movie, and clap your hands whenever it need be. Right? Kneel, stand. You're not spectators. When you come and celebrate the Eucharist with the priest, it means that the church wants you to actively participate. And how do you participate, my dear friends? You know, there was this one story, I'm not sure if I already told you this, but there was this story of a man who would always come to church. And whenever he would come to church, one time he told the priest, Father, I don't get anything from the Mass. I hear the same gospel every year, every time, every Sunday that I come, I hear the same gospel, I hear the priest preach, but I don't get anything. And then the priest asked him, the question is, do you offer anything? Because it is always a matter of, we always think that it is like an individual spirituality, a moral spirituality, a moral obligation for us to be here. And we always expect, okay, what can I get from the Mass? And somehow, the celebration of the Mass is defined by just what you heard in the homily. But it is not. We celebrate this solemnity, my dear friends, because it is an entire celebration. It is not only the homily that the priests preach, but it is the person you receive. It is Christ. Now, there are three things, my dear friends, that I would like to remind you as we celebrate the solemnity. First, the Mass is a sacrifice. Second, the Mass is a covenant. And third, the Mass is a banquet. First, the sacrifice. Why is it a sacrifice? Who sacrificed for us? Jesus. And he offered himself to sacrifice himself. Now, why is it so important? Because during those days, especially in the Old Testament, my dear friends, do you know what the purpose of sacrifice was? People would offer sacrifice to God. But you know the main reason why they would offer sacrifices? They would offer goats, they would offer lambs, they would offer turtle doves. You know why? Not only is it they offer it because of their own intention, but they offer it in remission for their sins. Because they are sorry. Because they have sinned. Because they realize and recognize that their shortcomings. And so they make sacrifices. Our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, but he did not sacrifice for the remission of his own sin. Whose sin did he perform that sacrifice? Whose sin did he was willing to sacrifice for? Us, our sins. And that is why we celebrate that sacrifice. We remember that sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ did. And so in return for that sacrifice Jesus Christ did, what do we offer? What do we offer? We offer our own petitions. We offer our own intentions. We offer our own weaknesses. We offer our own sins. And that is what the Eucharist is about. And that's the reason why there must be that active participation. That active participation is seen in the things that you offer and what you're willing to sacrifice in turn. Second, it is a covenant. When you come to the Eucharist, it reminds you that it is a covenant. What is the difference between a covenant and a contract? Do you know? What is the difference? A contract is an exchange of service. When you sign a contract, it means that you are expecting a service from the opposite party. And same goes for the other party. When you sign a contract, then they expect something from you. It is a service. It is an exchange of service. But when you talk about the covenant, what is a covenant? It is not an exchange of service, but it is an exchange of self. Okay? When you come to church and when you come to receive the Holy Eucharist, always remember that Christ reminds you of the covenant that he has established with each and every one of us. I offered myself for you, and in turn I ask you to offer yourself by living a life of holiness according to the vocation that I have called you to live. If I've called you to become a father and a husband, then be a holy father and a holy husband. If I've called you to be a wife, be a holy wife and a holy mother. That is that vocation. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, that is the covenant. We are being reminded of that covenant, right? As Christ selflessly offered himself for us, we in turn selflessly offer ourselves for him. And because the Eucharist also reminds us of a relationship. And I ask you, how is your relationship with Christ? Are you progressing or are you digressing? Are you becoming better or are you becoming worse? Are you improving in your own spiritual life, in your own prayer life? Whenever you come to church, is it getting deeper and deeper? Is your spirituality getting deeper and deeper? Is your relationship with God growing spiritually? One of the things that you have to ask yourself. The third, my dear friends, is that the Eucharist is a banquet. It is a banquet. When you go to the church, every church that you see, when you go, and as soon as you see, what you see, aside from the tabernacle, it's the altar, it's a table. Why? Because it is a table of sacrifice. Not only that, it is a table of sacrifice. It is a table where we are reminded of the relationship. When you go home, what is being served on that table, in your dining room table? Food. And what do you share? The relationship that you have among each other. Why? Because it is in that table that brings you together. Through that table, you share a meal. Through that table, you become a family. You tell stories. You talk about the good things. You talk about the bad things. You talk about your journey. You talk about your experiences. And same goes for the Eucharist. It calls us together as a Christian community. We are all gathered here, my dear brothers and sisters. Yes, because you need to be here. Yes, because you want to be here. Yes, because you want to give thanks to God. But it is not only an individual or a personal relationship. Yes, you are facing the altar. But at the same time, too, it also calls for you to be in relationship with the others who are here. Most of the time, my dear friends, we come to church every single Sunday. But every single Sunday, how often or how many parishioners do we know and talk to? Every single Sunday. We've been here for so long. We've been here for years. But being here, how many parishioners do you know? Because there's always that tendency for us, yes, to come to church, to receive Christ, talk a little bit, and then leave. But we do not see that we are a Christian family. We are a Christian community. We are brought here to be together as a family. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, so we have sacrifice, we have covenant, and then we have a banquet. This reminds us on how we should act, of course, and how we should see this particular solemnity. This is our life, my dear friends. especially for us as Adorno Fathers. This is our charism. When we come to receive Christ, it's not only the priest where you see Christ, but at the same, it's not only the person that gives the body of Christ, where Christ is present, but Christ is also present in the person who receives, meaning you, each and every one of you. And when you receive Christ, my dear friends, you are called to be a lived Eucharist. You become what you receive. You say, but when the priest tells you the body of Christ, you say, amen. Do you know what that even means? When you say amen, it means that you are willing to become like Christ. It means amen, the body of Christ, so be it. It means that the substance or the holiness or the sacredness of that body of Christ mingles with our own human weaknesses. And what do we gain? We gain hope. We gain salvation. We gain wisdom. And that's why when the priest says the body of Christ, you say amen. It means, yes, Lord, I choose to be like you. I choose to be a lived Eucharist. And so, my dear friends, I did not forget the fathers. Okay? So I said that's going to be 4 pages, but I only read the first part, and that was it. It was the inspiration of the Spirit, what I said today. All right? So, I would like to address the fathers as well. You know, my dear fathers, God, to all the fathers, God has definitely called you to be holy as a father in this vocation. So Christ delights in you. Christ loves you. When you took on the role as a father, I hope you are well aware that God has called you to offer yourself up for your family. We spoke about sacrifice today, and you are called to sacrifice yourself, not for yourself, not for your own glorification, not so that people will compliment, your family members will compliment you for the great job that you do, although every once in a while you do need it, but you sacrifice yourself, not for yourself, but for your family, for the people that you love, for those God has entrusted to your care. St. John Paul II said that as a father, he says, a father is a man who is called upon to ensure the harmonious and united development of each family member. That is your job, to ensure that within the family there's harmony, within the family that there's unity, unity also of them, each member of the family, to grow spiritually, to deepen their relationship. In other words, your responsibility, your fatherhood is based on leading your family to holiness. That's your role. And of course, when you do this, that is called love. And in order for love to be real, Saint Mother Teresa says, it must cost, it must hurt, and it must empty you of yourself. Okay? So today is your day, and be grateful to God for calling you to be holy in this vocation as a father. I hope and pray that your wife and your children will do something special for you, at least pay for lunch later after Mass. Right? And so, of course, my dear fathers, we'll definitely pray for you and say a prayer for you after Mass. I would like to wish you all fathers, a happy Father's Day. All right? God loves you and delights in you. Amen. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father,